This episode was uploaded Monday, June 5th, 2023, and you're listening to episode 31 of the 5x5 Room RPG Podcast. One of the strongest tools in a Game Master's toolkit is simply the ability to provide players with options. And not just options in classes or stats, but options the players will get to use at their discretion that do something interesting. Potions are the perfect choice here. Or are they? Forgive the cliche, but today, Jeremy and I discuss potions in Dungeons & Dragons. How they work, how they don't work, and how to work out a way to make them even better in the next iteration. The running time for this episode is 31 minutes.
Welcome to the 5x5 Room. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Hollis.
And today we're going to talk about something silly. This was my idea because I recently had a game where we were talking about potions. And we were talking about maybe some house rules, some ways to make them a little easier to use. In general, I think potions pose a bit of a narrative and mechanical problem when it comes to Dungeons & Dragons in particular. And I think it'd be fun to talk about it. So we're going to.
Before recording, we had a small brief chat just about our feelings about potions, and I haven't quite decided where I stand on them yet. So maybe this discussion will help me figure out how I feel about them.
Well, let's start with some mechanical ideas. How do you use a potion? Is it an action or is it a bonus action? By raw, it's an action. Do you think it's okay for it to be an action? Should it be a bonus action?
I want it to be a bonus action, I think, but I also know that it'll interfere with other abilities that also get used in the bonus action slot.
Okay, but if it was an action, wouldn't it interfere with other actions that use the action slot, like attacking or casting a spell?
It would do that, yes. And it's kind of odd because I know that some players approach a tabletop game very similar to that of a board game. So they're going to look at this opportunity cost, if you will, and they're going to go, well, I could swing my sword and do X damage, or I can cast a spell and do X cool effect. How does that compare to the potion that I'm going to be using for the same action or bonus action or however it would be divided?
Part of my idea for this episode is I'm just going to be asking you some questions.
I cannot wait.
It's like a therapy session.
Oh, yeah. Well, it really all started with my mom.
Okay. Well, let's move away from that for the moment.
Okay.
Does drinking a potion require a free hand?
It does.
Okay.
But what if I wanted someone to administer the potion for me?
Then they could do so as an action by raw. But once again, do they need a free hand?
I would assume so.
Okay.
Because they would have to uncork it or open it or something like that, right?
So do I need two free hands?
Ooh, well, no. What if you could just have one hand and you rip off the cork with your teeth?
Okay, I can see that. That's reasonable. But what if I have a two-handed weapon? Can I take one hand off of my two-handed weapon to then grab a potion?
I feel like I'm beginning to see the issues in the potion conversation. But I think you could, right? You could remove one hand from your great sword and pull out the potion and rip it open with your teeth and then chug it. And
okay, so let's say I have a shield and a sword.
Oh, no.
I can't do that now, can I?
But
mechanically, I'm using the same number of hands as my two-handed sword.
Listeners, help.
Right, so you see where I'm getting at here. This is really complicated. Mm-hmm. And if we rule that two-handed weapons can use potions, but sword and board can't use potions, that's a little funny. We also have to say, okay, well, technically when you take the attack action, you can also draw or sheathe a weapon, but it doesn't say when using the potion action that I can draw or sheathe a weapon. So can I sheathe my sword, draw a potion, drink the potion as in one action, and the next round redraw my sword and attack?
It's almost as if in every instance where I get a choice of what I want to do, simply adding I want to use my potion, it immediately is a force multiplier for the complexity of my turn.
So here's maybe a different take. What if, hear me out, potions are only usable outside of combat?
But won't I lose agency in the combat? Because, Jeremy, listen, I've got this really neat potion that says when I drink it, immediately, my farts smell like cupcakes. And I'm going to fart in the enemy direction while in combat, and they're going to run away because they're going to think it's a tasty treat.
Now, let me tell you, I don't think that's a real potion in D&D. It might be. But there is another one that I think exists in 5th edition. It existed in like 4th edition where you drink the potion and then you could breathe fire afterwards.
Ooh.
So this potion is only useful in combat. And honestly, sounds kind of cool. And I've actually seen some media before where there's characters that just have like a lot of different weird potions on them and they can kind of like drink one to get themselves out of a bad situation. And that sounds kind of fun. So I don't think I want to take it away from a player. I don't think I want them to have to wait till they're out of combat to drink a potion, but it's also really complicated because realistically, yeah, you probably need both of your hands to dig a potion out and take the cork off and then drink it. Let's try to ask some more questions though.
Okay. I'm back in the seat.
Is a drop enough or do you have to drink the entire potion?
I would rule that you would have to drink the entire potion for it to have its effect.
Now, if I was like drinking it hastily and a drop, a single drop like runs down the side of my mouth, does that mean I missed part of it and I don't get the effect?
Ooh, unfortunately, I would have to rule and stick with my guns that, yep, you didn't drink the whole potion, so you don't get the all, you don't get the full effect. But is that fair?
No, it's not fair at all. So, okay, we understand. This is where I'm getting more D&D rules. Mm-hmm. So obviously I play a lot of tabletop games and some of them might have different ideas of how potions function. But in 5th edition, when it comes to potions, it's assumed that you need to be able to drink the entire potion to get the effect. Obviously, there's no roll to see if you spill a little bit while you're drinking. But as Hull has mentioned, you might have a house rule where maybe you can share a potion. You can drink a little bit of it and then save some for later or give some to another ally. Or maybe you can dilute them. Like, should it be possible for a player to say, well, you know, I have this empty bottle. I'll pour half the potion in and then pour in some water. Can I get like a little bit of an effect out of them? These ideas sound fun and interesting, but they're not really handled by the rules. And they also kind of bring into question, what exactly is this potion and how does it function on a narrative level? Like narratively speaking, when I ask the question of, do I have to drink the whole potion? Is there something inherently magical about this liquid in the vial that it knows if I were to drink all of it and if I weren't able to drink all of it, that it would not activate? Or is this just a quirk of the rules?
The reason why I feel like it's sort of hard to answer is because it very much feels like the concept of potions almost feels like an afterthought in terms of the mechanics of the game. A potion that makes you very strong and mighty for a brief moment in time, or a potion that gives you the ability to fly or speak a different language. These things seem interesting, and the effects seem really cool. They're awesome, thematic, neat things that add something to the game. But as you begin to break down the sort of math behind it, I can speak a language for 1 hour if I drink this. Well, if I only drink half of it, do I only speak it for 30 minutes? Is that even fair? What if I only need to use this one potion to speak a certain language for 5 minutes, just enough to get me out of the conflict, and then it's not an issue anymore? I turn one potion, effectively, into 10, 20 versions of that potion because of that kind of usage.
You want to complicate things further?
Oh, I can't wait.
Do potions take effect immediately? Do I have to digest the potion, or as soon as the entire potion has touched my tongue, the last drop gets in, do I then heal? Or gain the ability to fly, or whatever?
This is a great point. Sorry, I know that I'm not technically answering your question, but, I mean, most things that you ingest take time to go through your digestive system. So, does this begin working the moment it hits my stomach? Or is it the moment it hits my tongue? That's also very interesting. Should it take an hour before I feel the effects of the potion that I drank, or is it immediate? My head's about to explode, by the way.
If someone drinks a healing potion, and within the 6 seconds of a combat round, I run up and give them like a gut check and punch them in the stomach and they vomit it up, do they get the healing effects of the potion?
If someone drinks a potion of spider climb in the middle of a forest and a tree falls,
and they're on that tree spider climbing it, it will crush them. I don't remember what we're talking about anymore, but... No, I just think that, so here's the thing. That example that I just gave you sounds kind of cool, actually.
It does.
Like, if a bad guy had a potion and you saw him, like, 2 or 3 times previously drink it and then breathe fire, and then you saw him drink that potion, and then someone ran up and, like, gut punched him, and he, like, wasn't able to get the effects of the potion off, that's really cool.
Yep.
That sounds like a really fun thing that could happen in a cinematic experience. But that's not really how potions work. Technically, as soon as, once again, mechanically speaking, once the last drop of the potion has touched your tongue, you receive the full effects of the potion, which once again is very weird because the only way that this narratively makes sense is that the potion is pretty much a spell. It's a magic, almost sentient spell that knows when one and one person only has drank the entirety of the potion, at which point it will then immediately confer benefits to them. And this is stupid.
All right, Jeremy, I'll buy it. Why is it stupid?
Because, I mean, I guess if you just rule that that's the way potions are, then that's how it is. It's not any less stupid than magic is in general. Maybe we'll talk more about that in one of these episodes. But it's a very weird way to think about how this potion functions when we as humans have at least a vague understanding of how our own metabolic processes work. We know ingesting things and how they function. Like you even brought up before we were recording antibiotics and the way that you have to like take the entire thing for it to get the full benefit. But in those cases, like it needs to go into your stomach and start reaching into your bloodstream. Like there's a lot of complications that come in with ingesting something. And okay, maybe we don't deal with all those complexities because we don't need to, but it brings you to these weird questions every now and then where a player might ask you, hey, do I really have to drink all of this potion to get any benefit whatsoever? Why? And there's not a good narrative answer. And what this is all going to boil down to is that D&D, the game, did not think that hard about what potions are narratively. And yeah, I guess they don't have to, but that's the problem that we're at right now. That's the reason why potions are so complicated. So let's complicate it some more. I'm going back to the questions. Do you have to ingest the potion? Or if you were soaked in the potion, would that be enough?
Like, would it get absorbed through your skin?
Yeah.
Surely not. I don't think that's the way it's supposed to work, right?
But why not? It's just magic, right? What if I had a healing potion and I threw it at my ally and it broke open on their head and they got glass shards in their head, but also the healing potion, you know, went into their bloodstream from those glass shards?
Yeah, like what if the potion cracks open on their head and then the droplets of the potion begin to drip slowly in their mouth right before they fall unconscious? It's like that scene from JoJo's where JoJo saves Mista at the last second. Okay, sorry, maybe it's a little bit further.
I don't know any JoJo's. Oh. But another question, can you have potion overload? Even in real life, if I just drink a whole lot of water, my body doesn't tend to like it. And water's considered to be pretty good for me. But if I just drink 5-6 gallons of it in the span of 10 minutes, my body's going to be pretty upset. If I just keep drinking healing potions, I mean, just the physical liquid is probably going to have some kind of adverse effect on me. But what if happens if I'm drinking a bunch of different potions? Like I drink spider climb and then I drink a strength potion and then I drink an invisibility potion and then I drink a healing potion. Do they like mix together to do anything weird inside of me?
It sort of feels like potions are meant to give you the same benefits and unique concepts that are available through magic. It very much feels as though potions are trying to do what magic does, in that when you cast a spell, you choose a target. And then once you say the spell you're casting, once you've done the somatic and other components of that spell, an effect just happens. It's just assumed you give the incantation, and that's that. It tries to avoid some of the minutiae just to give you the effect, but potions have the added nuance of saying you're imitating magic. It's almost like you're casting a magic spell. So you've got to have this entire concoction to be able to get the effect that a regular spell would give for this. Otherwise, you start to bend the spells or the potions kind of like you would bend a spell. If I were to cast Healing Word on you, am I allowed the option to say, well, I only really want to cast half the spell on you? And because this is a limitation you're not allowed to use within spells, they want to have the same sort of logic when looking at potions and poisons and things like that. And I have to say, I think I'm in agreement with you, Jeremy. It doesn't do a great job of actually creating the right dividing line in a way that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you're dead on comparing this to spellcasting. And it's tough because I get why potions function the way that they do. But it's not very narratively interesting. And there's fun narrative things that we can do with potions because they are kind of cool. And there's ways that we can outsmart the potion, or that we can maybe try to make use of the potion in ways that it wasn't intended for. And you mentioned that maybe spells could function the same way. And that's when spellcasting gets its most interesting to me as a player, when I have a little bit of extra control over it. Maybe I can tweak things in my own liking. Maybe the new wizard is perfect for me. I have more questions, though.
Okay, hit me with them.
Do potions have a shelf life?
Oh, they have to. I mean, even the tuna I had yesterday has a shelf life.
Yeah, but we find these things in, like, chests in an old dungeon from 1,000 years ago. Is my potion expired?
That's an excellent point.
If it is expired, do I still get some benefit? Do Ooh. I get a negative?
Ooh, very interesting.
These are fun questions that you get to ask about potions because, well, they're weird. And I don't know. I feel like the game doesn't really have any answers for them. However, it does have some answers. Guess what I found while reading the Dungeon Master's Guide? You know that book that everyone tosses to the side when they buy the big three?
Wait, what is that? I don't know. I've never looked at it.
We call it the DMG for short.
I'm going to order one of those. Be right back. I'm going to go to Amazon real
quick. Okay. There's an optional rule for mixing potions. Not making potions. Like literally taking two different potions and then pouring them together to get double the effects.
I will tell you right now, unapologetically, I am not familiar with that at all.
Yeah. It effectively is like a table you roll on. So it's like, take your healing potion and your potion of spider climb and you pour them into one big bottle and then you roll effectively like percentile to see if only one of them takes effect or if neither of them take effect or if both of them take effect.
It sounds like an even more complicated process for a more complicated mechanic.
Yeah, but it would effectively allow you to save an action. Now you just drink one potion and you get the effect of two if you succeeded.
But what's the statute of limitations on that? I can mix seven different potions and therefore get seven different actions worth of one action?
I mean, the other question is even, can I mix two healing potions together and do they both function separately? Do they stack? I don't know the nuance of this. I would have to pull the rule out. And to be honest, it's not that interesting. I think it's just interesting that this is in the book to begin with. They thought about it. Someone in Washington State was sitting at a table, or maybe remotely, who knows when this was written, but someone somewhere said, hey, what happens if I mix two potions together? And they said, oh, good question. Let's handle that. Let's figure out a way to handle that in game. But why didn't they handle any of my questions? I had, 10 questions that I just asked you? They don't have any rules for that. They don't have rules for what happens when someone gets punched in the gut and throws up a potion. They don't have rules for what happens when I don't have a free hand, or exactly how to manage my free hands, because it's not really well defined in this game.
And I'll even admit, at my own table, players have asked me some hard questions regarding potions in terms of how do they go about sheathing, dropping, or using multiple weapons or pieces of equipment while also trying to use a potion because they're in dire need to use it. Maybe it's a health potion. And
I bet I can guess what you did.
Okay.
You probably said, spend an action, you drink a potion. Because that's what I would do. If a player said, I got stuff in my hands and I'm trying to fight, but I really need to drink this potion, I would go, who cares? Spend an action, drink it. I don't care. It's not that interesting.
I personally find the act of using potions so boring or uninteresting, I often just allow the players to do it as a free action, as long as they don't abuse potions to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, if your players aren't saying like, hey, we keep 100 potions on stock at all times, then okay, yeah, obviously you don't want to let them use it as a free action. But in most situations, you can just say, who cares, whatever. If they're like, but I want to use my action, I would say, fine, it's a bonus action. If they say, well, I want to use my bonus action, I go, okay, fine, it's a free action. You could probably convince me to do just about anything.
Yep.
And it's, once again, because it's not that interesting. But it could be. It could be that interesting. If we were trying to figure out, like, how cool is it? Imagine in a movie, you're watching a movie, and this person, you know, we had the scene where they went to the store and they bought the potion. So we know it's important that they're going to be able to drink that potion at some point. And now they're in a fight with someone, and they've got this shield and they've got their sword, and they're like, ugh, I got to drink this potion or else there's no way out of this scrap that I'm in right now. And how are they going to figure out how to do it? What kind of finagling are they going to do? Are they going to like stick their sword into a tree temporarily so they can drink a potion? Because that sounds fun. That sounds like something that could be fun and cinematic, but there's not really good ways of handling this in D&D. And here's what it all comes down to. D&D is about combat, and a lot of people will tell you that that's not the case, that the game is a role-playing game. What are 90% of the rules in the book pertaining to?
Combat.
So when it comes down to it, when I take away a whole action from a player, that could be extremely detrimental. If I take away two actions because I would say, well, you have to put away your sword first, then you have to spend an action to reach in your backpack and find the potion, then you have to take an action to drink the potion. So the more meticulous I am about this, the more likely it is that the player says, well, it's just not worth it, I'll never drink potions. At which point, okay, I've just removed him from the game.
And this is the exact scenario I think I found myself in. When I had the option to present some unique or different rules for potions, as the decision-making trees begin to stack up and pile up and pile up in terms of providing options, it ultimately seemed like the easiest choice for me was just to kind of hand-wave them on the whole, make them something that were just very convenient and just cool extras the players got. On one hand, I may have removed some impactful piece of that combat layer from my players for using potions, but in my opinion, I simply just removed a bit of minutiae that I felt took something away from the game. It did mean that I would have to later curve the amount of items like potions that I could provide them so they wasn't abused, but that seemed like a fair trade for letting them use them whenever they wanted.
I think that was a good decision that you had to make. There's other ways that this could be handled, and that's most of the reason why I wanted to have this episode about it. Because as we know, Wizards of the Coast has me like right on the line all the time. They keep coming to me and saying, hey, Jeremy, we want your advice. How do we make our game better?
I just saw the facts. Actually, a fax came through just yesterday and they asked for you directly. It's okay. I CC'd you in another email and then I shadow copied Chris Perkins. So I'm pretty sure they'll be in contact.
Cool. I will handwrite them a letter from snail mail so that we can have as many communication channels as open as possible.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Since they're obviously listening, we're making a new book for D&D, and you know what? There's this whole big book called The Dungeon Master's Guide that no one really pays attention to, and it probably needs some new stuff to go in it. What a great opportunity to re-examine the way that potions work. For us to say, hey, there are a lot of nuances that aren't very clearly explained when it comes to using potions. Why don't we try to put some answers in there? Why don't we tell people, well, here's what happens when this happens. Here's the way that the hand juggling works. And this can come up with some fun ways that it doesn't have to always be completely player friendly. It shouldn't just be, hey, it's a free action always because who cares? But if we say, hey, maybe you have to make a roll. Maybe it's like a dex check of some kind to like pull the potion out. Maybe you have special armors that have like straps on them where, okay, I have this potion strapped onto my chest, so it's really easy for me to just grab it and drink it. I don't have to like dig through a backpack. But maybe it also has a downside, like, oh, an enemy crit me, they break my potion bottle because it's right here on my chest. Like, there's a lot of, like, fun things that you can have happen here. And I don't know, what happens when that potion bottle breaks on your chest and it just, like, bleeds into you? And what if it was a bad potion? What if you had a poison right there? Do you get infected?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah, there's, like, some fun ways that you can make this work. And I think that we should really reexamine it now that we're going into a semi-new edition of D&D. Even if it doesn't get touched on, I think it's a great thing to discuss some house rules. Because chances are, if you're playing a game of D&D, this is probably going to come up at some point. Someone's going to ask you, hey, wait, how do I drink this potion? You gave me a potion, Mr. Dungeon Master. When I beat up that monster and I opened the treasure chest, I found this healing potion, but I can't figure out how to use it because I have a sword and a shield.
In terms of loot and items, I think that potions are a really cool thing to give players because it does feel good to get something unique that you know that you can use inside of combat and outside of combat to provide you with some unique opportunities for something narrative or something really cool with role play or even within the combat itself. But unfortunately, the mechanics that we have for potions seem so muddy. They make it really hard to justify. By giving them a potion, it's really cool to give them that option. But the last thing I ever want to do is make the thing that I've given them now a crutch that they wish they'd just rather not have. If a player came and said, hey, I would like to drink half the potion and see what that effect is, it feels kind of boring, honestly, just to say, oh, nothing happens until you drink the whole thing. If anything, I'd kind of like to see what drinking half the potion allows them to do, or where does it take them? Do they have a unique way that they can use a potion of comprehend languages to learn abyssal? Maybe they need to use it 10 times in one day as they speak to different people. Does that mean they have to drink it all now and buy brand new potions? That seems, well, kind of monotonous, right?
You know what you were making me think of by these examples?
What?
If someone drank half of a spider climb potion, and so they can only spider climb with two of their limbs, and it like their right hand and their right foot can spider climb, but the other ones can't, and so they're just sort of like dangling. And even like, oh, I drink half of my comprehend languages. Like, okay, you can hear every other word. You go, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I need to make this potion last because I know I'm going to have another conversation later today. So I'm just going to have to piece together from half of a conversation what exactly was being said to me.
And while that's not the way the potions are intended to work, as we just discussed, I think that that does present some very cool, unique narrative opportunities for your players.
Yeah, it's true that maybe Wizards isn't going to answer this question for us, and maybe we don't want them to, because maybe this is more fun when we just try something new. I have like one tiny thing I want to talk about.
You're good. I'm chilling.
This is only barely related to potions, but you guys might not have known this about Hollis and I, but we played and enjoyed this game called Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition. So in 4E, healing potions, when you drank them, they didn't like heal you, or like higher level ones would heal you a little bit. But what they would do is they would allow you to spend a healing surge. So the healing potion itself didn't actually heal you. What it kind of did is it sort of like sped up your metabolism to like heal yourself using your own body's reserves. Hollis, this fixes your problem. You are saying, maybe I'll just make it a free action, but what happens when my players have 100 healing potions? This gets solved if we say, what if healing potions in 5th edition actually just made you roll a hit die? It just said, hey, you can drink this and you get to roll your hit die and recover that many hit points. So then you can say, well, you're going to hit a limit at some point where you run out of hit dice, so you can't just drink potions forever.
Jeremy, it sounds like to me you're saying the hit dice provide a very convenient opportunity for potions to have a way to sort of be checked in their usage. Perhaps maybe the normal use for any kind of potion would simply be, you spend a hit dice, you get the potion's effect. And also it gives you a baseline of how to measure a potion's effectiveness. You know that one surge is effectively equal to one potion of whatever the varying level of that potion is. So now, because you know one surge is equal to one potion, you get to balance all potions around that as a mechanism and actually find real game balance. You can math out. You would know how good a potion is based on A, its power level, and B, how many surges it's going to use compared to other spells of its kind.
And maybe in this way, it also means that potions have different effects on different types of people. Like when your scrawny wizard drinks that healing potion, it doesn't heal quite as much as when your big beefy barbarian drinks the healing potion. Because otherwise, you've got a level 2 potion that maxes out your wizard, but barely does anything to your barbarian, who's got 5 times as many hit points. It's an exaggeration, but only barely. This conversation is now pivoted to where I say that 4th edition is the better game and we should go back to it. No, not quite. But but what I am saying is that healing surges were really cool and they were a nice way to interact with potions. And so I'm kind of sad to see them go. But we still have hit dice. So I think it'd be fun to kind of combine them with potions in the way that we've been using potions. They're just a fun resource in general that kind of gets overlooked.
Potions are also a fun tool for players to have in their toolkit. It's a shame that knowing that fact, they're muddy and complicated and overall just very difficult to use in a way that seems meaningful without kind of really mucking up the system.
Yeah, it's tough because you don't want to punish your player, especially because doing so even a little bit is just going to render them saying, well, it's not worth me drinking the potion. And so instead you say, okay, well, we should find a compromise, one that is fun and narratively interesting, but isn't just handcuffs on the player. And I think from what we've talked about over this last half hour, that answer is going to be different in every situation. Sometimes with some players in some games, it's going to be fun to say, look, it's going to take you three actions to get that potion down. And that could be really cool if the potion does something really powerful, like allows you to fly out of a situation that you normally would not be able to escape from, or maybe pass through a wall or do some other really cool thing. But if it's just a healing potion, you have to say, well, three actions for a healing potion ain't going to cut it. My character will just die before I do that.
Yeah.
So, I think that's all I've got on potions.
I think I'm about at the same level. I'm going to have a potion myself of my own making. It's more like whiskey, but yeah, I'll call it a potion. Sure.
It's an elixir of sorts.
I'd like where your head's at.
The question is, do you have to drink the entire bottle to get any effects out of it?
Oh, no. Yes.
And on that note, I think we'll call it here. Thank you guys for listening. This was my own recommendation, but we are still open to recs. So if you guys have any episode ideas, let us know. We're happy to talk about them.
Good luck to you all. Have a great night. And yeah, I would not mix any potions in the near future.